Good evening.
Adam, the very first human person that we meet at the beginning of the Bible, also makes an appearance in the New Testament in the book of Romans, although for a reason that I'm sure that he wouldn't be proud of, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who was the type of him who is to come. So here in Romans chapter 5, we have a reminder of Adam's sin and the repercussions of it. So what's the lesson that we learn from this? Is it that our sin is going to be held against us and that this is what we're going to be remembered for years down the road in our life? Well, no. Those of us who are in Christ know or should know that the reason why Adam is being brought up within this context is to emphasize the exact opposite for those who are in Christ. In verse 15, but the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression resulting in condemnation, but on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions resulting in justification. For if by the transgression of the one death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even through one act of righteousness there result justification of life to all men. For as through the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one the many will be made righteous. The law came in so that the transgression would increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Adam's sin is brought up, the deadliness of sin is brought up, but it's brought up as a contrast to the freedom that we have in Christ. We are really free in Christ. We are free from sin, we are free from our conscience, we are free from the past. Like, even if we had a really bad past, one that we could never imagine ourselves forgetting. Speaking about Israel in Jeremiah chapter 30, in verse 2, we read this. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, write all the words which I have spoken to you in a book. For behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will restore the fortunes of my people, Israel and Judah. The Lord says, I will also bring them back to the land that I gave to their forefathers, and they shall possess it. Now these are the words which the Lord spoke concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus says the Lord, I have heard a sound of terror, of dread, and there is no peace. Ask now, and see if a male can give birth. Why is it then do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in childbirth? And why have all faces turned pale? Alas, for that day is great. There is none like it, and it is the time of Jacob's distress, but he will be saved from it. It shall come about on that day, declares the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off their neck and will tear off their bonds, and strangers will no longer make them slaves, but they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. How wonderful to get to verse 8. How wonderful to get to freedom. But how could you forget the pain of verses 6 through 7? Doesn't that sound terrible? And all of this happened because of the evil of the people and because of the evil that they committed. Well, even if they couldn't forget it anymore, these people that God is talking about, even if they could not forget their past, that is not their life anymore, is what we see God saying through Jeremiah. And it's the same within our lives, and we have to remember within our lives. And the bad makes the good even greater. We're still not proud of the bad, but this is the point that we see in Romans 5 and verse 20. The law came in so that the transgression would increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. There was an understanding, I guess a sort of understanding about right and wrong before the law came into the world. But when the law came in, it really shined a spotlight on how bad people really were. But that made it all the more amazing when Jesus came and saved us. I don't know how your eyesight is this evening, but if you had my eyesight, you'd have pretty bad eyesight. If I were looking at a ruined city, a city that had been bombed or something like that, and I didn't have my glasses on, I would only be able to see, like, I'd be able to tell that I was looking at a messed up city, but I wouldn't be able to see how bad it really was. But if you put glasses on me, then I could see how bad it was. And that wouldn't be that wouldn't be a good thing. I wouldn't enjoy seeing how bad it was, but how much of a greater blessing would it be if these eyes saw that city restored again? And that's the same principle that we're talking about here, and also the same principle within our lives. So we may have had a pretty messed up looking life, and as we have turned our life over to Christ, and as we continue to gain in our maturity, probably looks even messier to us now. But that's not our life anymore. We have a new life. We are new creatures. So now we have even more reason to be thankful. Not to fear, but to be thankful. We are not slaves of our past. We may feel like we are slaves of the sinful impulses, but we're not. We're not slaves to these things anymore. We're not slaves, even though, you know, maybe sometimes we feel like we can't do the right thing. That's not true. We read in Romans 6 that we died to sin. One of the things that we can take as a illustration from Balaam's donkey is that even animals are not slave to their animal instincts whenever God sticks his hand into the mix. God has given Jesus to free us from sin so that we would not walk in sin. Now that walk is still, it's difficult. We may stumble from time to time, but sin is no longer our master. We are free. We are really and truly free. Our past has no control of us. Sin has no control of us. But now that these things don't have control of us, something has to. We had a really bad driver in the driver's seat, one that was taking us, you know, to the edge. And praise God that driver's not there anymore. But someone has to be, or something has to be. We've got to decide who it's going to be, or what it's going to be. Now, we can put some pretty poor drivers back in that seat. We could actually allow the things that were expelled there in the first place to come back to the same ruin as before. We could believe that these things are still in control, that our past is in control, that sin is still in control of us, to the point that we continue to leave that seat empty and seat empty until our fear becomes reality and these things really do become control us again to the same ruin as before. We can find something new but equally worthless to put in that driver's seat and to drive us to the same ruin. Or we can let Christ take control of our lives. And when I say that, I also have to say that there's no way that we can become a puppet. We can't give over our freedom of will and have Christ make all of the decisions for us, although that would be nice in a lot of situations. But we can't do that. But we can allow Christ to reign over us and to rule over us. If we ask, well, how is it that we do that? Well, it's easy. Sin and our impulses ruled over us before. Our impulses, they didn't take over our freedom of will. They didn't make us do anything. They gave us orders. They said, hey, this is what I would like to do. And we said, okay, yeah, sure, we'll give in to those things. And the result of those things was death. But Christ gives orders. Christ gives instruction. Christ gives wisdom. And he also gives encouragement, and he also gives help. But where the difference is these things, the result of these things is life. I guess the question is, are we going to follow these things and give in to these things, the life that comes to Christ, as quickly as we gave in to the death that came from our impulses? Are we really and truly going to allow Christ to rule over us? Paul gives an example of this in Galatians, with the context being the law, in Galatians 2 and verse 19. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. There was something that had control over Paul, namely the law, but now he is giving control over to Christ. Now, does that mean that Jesus has actually taken him over? Well, you know, it says the life that I am now living, I live by faith in Christ. It is faith that makes the difference for Paul. Faith that in Jesus Christ lies the wisdom and the knowledge and the ability for Paul to reach his destination. And he said, it's Christ who I'm going to live for. It is Christ who I'm going to listen to. It is Christ who I'm going to obey. He put Christ in the driver's seat, And then he says this in 2 Timothy in chapter 4 in verse 8, as the result of this, in the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Now here's the question for us, who are we going to give control over to? Could we pick anything better than Christ? We need to keep all of the trash and all of the lies out of the cockpit of our life. Past does not control us anymore. Sin does not control us anymore, and we don't want it to. But if we put the wheel under faith and obedience in Jesus Christ, our Lord, then we will never be steered wrong again, ever. And we will reach our destination. We have the choice. We've got to make it, though. We have Adam, right? We have our past. We have our fears. We have our desires and all of those things. And we have Christ. And we read this in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Who are we going to give control over to? Well, we've already covered it, but God gives us the greatest idea in verse 9 of Jeremiah chapter 30. But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. If you need to begin your walk in doing that this evening, please come forward, be baptized and saved in our Lord Jesus Christ. We stand and as we sing.